scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The slides will show the Message version, and I have New International Version, so it will be slightly different. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you very much. Whoa, we're just moving right ahead here, and I'm going to have you out before lunchtime. Lunch. That's a good idea. I haven't had breakfast yet. No. Good to see all of you today. This is quite an occasion, and I want to thank you first for the wonderful celebration last Sunday evening. It was a moving experience beyond imagination, and I deeply appreciate all that went into making it such a special occasion for Carolyn and for me. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this time together, for the good news of Christ which sustains us, for the opportunity to be the body of Christ gathered together, and for your holy word. As we gather and as we are instructed by that word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Moses climbed from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the peak of Pisgah, facing Jericho. God showed him all the land from Gilead to Dan, from Naphtali, Ephraim, and Manasseh, all Judah, reaching to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the plains which encircle Jericho, the city of palms as far south as Zoar. Then and there God said to him, this is the land I promised to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the words, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes. There it is. But you are not going to go in. Today is also a reminder to Carolyn and to me that we have been on a magnificent journey with you. God has showed us all the land spreading from Palmer Lake to Black Forest. Wow. From Castle Rock and Larkspur south to Colorado Springs. God made a promise to those who dared to dream and clean up a service station so that it would one day be a place of worship. And God said it was good. And then a cable company would be transformed into a storefront church. Money and hours of labor went into making that thing look just like a church. And when you walked in there, no, you were going to get service, but a different kind of service than you might expect. And it was a great place of worship. And a lot went on in that beautiful downtown storefront church. And God said it was good. Northgate Fellowship grew and changed. Carolyn and I entered the scene to journey with you. And within a short time, why, heavens, we became Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church. Oh, it wasn't an easy moment. We had to go through the process of figuring out what the name would be, so we had a contest. Narrowed some 30 or 40 names down to just a few, and then the decision was made, and Tri-Lakes UMC is what it is. We spread our wings to other facilities in town. Well, my goodness, on Sunday morning when we gathered, that was no longer Monument. It was Tri-Lakes UMC Incorporated. We took over the town and the schools and the town hall, and oh, wow, we had a wonderful time. God looked over all of it, and he said it was good. And then God's continuing dream took place. And we prayed as in a circle on a spot of land which would one day be ours. And God's continuing dream for you somehow was made a remarkable reality. A new home became real to us. It was not just a drawing on paper. It was not just a hole in the ground. It was, wow, more than we ever expected. And the future opened up to us, and the parking lot and the landscaping sort of gave us a touch of class as well as a place to park. And the lower level was finally completed. Oh, what a day that was. The lower level. No, not the basement. It was the lower level. It was completed with a sense of awe and excitement and accomplishment. And you were all happy. We were all happy. And God looked out and saw it and said, wow, this is really, really good. And God also said to Carolyn and to me, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. I've been to the mountaintop with you. Boy, those mountaintop experiences, how they transformed us and changed us and excited us, and gave us something to hold on to. We laughed and cried. We struggled, and I hurt with you, and I celebrated with you, and I wept with you. But I can't go over the mountain with you. I can't do that. God's promises have been kept, and I see a future filled with greater potential than you can imagine. But Carolyn and I can't go with you. But a new pastor can. And you can. The future is before you. And I hear God saying to you, as he spoke to Joshua, in the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage, give it everything you have. Heart and soul. And when the call comes, let God take charge and take you into the future that is yet to be defined. That's the task before you. You have an awesome responsibility. And as I contemplated just a few things of what I would say today, I went through a whole series of things. You can imagine what 11 plus years will do to a guy. Oh, there's some people I could talk about. Wonderful, wonderful people. I don't have time to do all of that. Experiences. I don't have time to do all of that. But just maybe a few poignant thoughts that jumped out at me as I want to see you succeed and move into the future with a sense of great anticipation and happiness. Seeing things that I've been pondering. And the first one is very simple. And it's represented by a prayer shawl. Some of you have this prayer shawl. Others of you will receive it. Beverly Carlson and her team makes these possible. You feel good and surrounded when you have the prayer shawl. And it represents something very, very important. Oftentimes in our list of things of importance, this goes at the bottom. I'm putting it at the very top. Never underestimate the power of prayer. It is the key to your future. Never underestimate it. Your future is not in this building. It is not in another building. It is not in an expanded campus. It is in the power of prayer that your future will be defined. And I honestly believe that. It's the most important ingredient in the souffle that we're making for the future. And without it, the meal will flop. I love the story that Philip Yancey tells as a result of a safari to South Africa. It was a great experience for him. And when on the safari, Yancey soon learned to respect the instincts of his African scout, whose name was Lawrence. Wonderful, wonderful man. Yancey sat on the jump seat of the Land Rover, looking out over the land, and Lawrence was there helping the driver. Lawrence used amazing techniques like the scent of animals and tree rubbings and hoof prints to find out where the rhinos were, where the giraffe were, where the animals were. And so he guided this tour. Man, it was one of those spellbound experiences for Yancey. However, the driver became irritated. At one moment in time, when Lawrence ordered him to stop the vehicle in front of a modest bush that was a plume with yellow flowers. And Lawrence said to the driver, he said, "This is the weeping wattle bush." And he said it with such a reverent tone. I love the name of that bush. The weeping wattle bush. I don't know if any of you have one. I wish I did, because I could tell all my neighbors, "See my weeping wattle?" It was a weeping wattle bush. "It's very important," he said, "to my people, to all of my people." And then he went on to tell an unbelievable tale about that little bush. He said it was a day and a time when white South Africa imported black workers from neighboring countries to work in the gold mines of South Africa. It was hot and dangerous work for every miner. The miners descended in cages down shafts deep into the mountains, some 2 miles deep below the surface, in near darkness, at temperatures found only in the fiercest of deserts. And they would swing picks at rocks too hot to even touch by human hands. The miners lived in dorms surrounded by barbed wire. They had no watches, they had no calendars, they had no mail, they had no contact with their family at all, except for 2 short days a year. And that took place at Christmas. At Christmas time. And the weeping wattles blossomed and bloomed in early December. So when those miners saw the blossoms, when they saw the blooms, they knew that Christmas had to be nearby. And the opportunity was coming for them to be reunited with their wives and children. Lawrence's story had particular meaning to Yancey. And it had particular meaning to Lawrence himself. Lawrence had a contract with the company to do the work he was doing. And in that contract, he only had a couple of weeks off during the year. And they were at Christmas time. And he said, "So I look for the weeping wattle like they did so long ago, because it's the time when I'm going to get to see my wife and my infant son that I haven't seen for a year." And Yancey writes these words, "I need markers like a weeping wattle bush to remind me of another world out there, a hidden reality on which my life should be centered." We all need something like a weeping wattle. We need that kind of marker that guides us where we need to be and where we need to go. This prayer shawl and our prayer team and our prayer support group all around the congregation are markers to remind you and me of the depth of your future and that it always must begin and end in prayer. It's the most significant thing that we can do as the body of Christ as we look toward tomorrow. It is the foundation which places you in the very presence of God. Don't give it second billing. Paul says, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. I love his comments when he's in prison in shackles. What does he talk about? This guy boggles my mind how he can be so happy. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. That's the importance of prayer. It's your first line of defense in a world which would love nothing more than to capsize your faith. I mean that. You can't take it nonchalantly. The world would like to capsize your faith, not strengthen it. And your first line of defense is prayer. And as you look to the future, also remember the commitments you made when you became part of the family of Christ. You heard some of those commitments this morning as others joined the church. Recall the questions. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Ooh, that's pretty heavy stuff. By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. You said that when you joined this family in Christ. It doesn't say now and then. It says you got my commitment, and you got my service, and you got my prayers, and you got my talents, and my gifts. Paul reminds us very clearly, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget it. Only as you accept your part in the body does your part mean anything at all. I'll say, what are some of the parts of the body? Well, Paul says apostles, and then the female counterpart, epistles. I think that's outward. He says apostles and teachers and miracle workers and healers and helpers and organizers and those who pray in tongues and those who try to decipher it. I've also added some other things for our contemplation. Part of that body also means cooks and nursery workers and window washers and clerks and custodians and trustees and committee members and communion stewards and musicians and singers and acolytes and lay readers and greeters and ushers and coffee makers and kitchen helpers and floor cleaners. All of these are part of the body of Christ as well. And the list goes on to include our tithes and our gifts as well as everything else. Our tithes and our gifts. Jesus talked about this all the time. Scripture talks about it all the time. Put your mouth where your heart is. And if it's in Christ, then put Christ first. If it's in your pocketbook, then you're not serving Christ. Pretty clear. We're doing a lousy job here in terms of offerings, for example. Now, I'm not talking about the money you give. I'm talking about the way we give it. Let me tell you what I mean. We have the audacity to bring from an old church to the new church some baskets. Now, when this basket comes down your row, it says to you a number of things, one of which is, doesn't hold very much, so I don't need to put much in it. It doesn't amount to much because it is small. I mean, when we're talking about tithes and gifts and talents and commitment and love and effort, and you want to put them all in a basket this size, I am telling either the board of trustees or the worship committee chair, get rid of these baskets. they send the wrong message to the entire congregation and to every visitor who walks in here. Instead, I have proposed I propose something that meets the caliber of this congregation. This befits the stamina which has brought us to today. I tell you right now, when a guest walks in this church and this wheelbarrow comes down the aisle, they will know that you mean business. Now, I'm not talking about just money business, but I'm talking about, wow, there's an attitude in that church I got to get a hold of. They're not thinking small about anything. They're not thinking pipe size, either about their giving or their talents or their love or their care for each other. They're going all the way with a wheelbarrow. I say we get at least three of them, if not four, because we want to challenge the choir to give more. Makes sense to me that we have a wheelbarrow. And one other thought, and then I'll be quiet. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, by the way, mean greater responsibilities. Greater gifts mean greater responsibilities. This church has greater responsibilities for the future. The other thought that comes from John, the 21st chapter, and I'm sure you remember the story. It takes place after breakfast. The disciples have had an interesting day at sea. They come in, they're tired out of the night, and the next day they have breakfast with Jesus. And after that experience, Jesus, in conversation with Simon, asked Simon some questions. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon answers in the affirmative, yes, Master, you know I love you. I love you. And then Jesus says again, feed my lambs. And then the second time Jesus asks, Simon, do you really love me? He says, yes, Master, you know I love you. And Jesus says, shepherd my sheep. And then a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter is now upset. Get off my back. He's upset with Jesus. But his response is very clear. Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. The shepherd's staff not only reminds us of Jesus, the good shepherd, but it also tunes us into the fact that we are called to be the shepherds of a hungry, needful world in which we live. If you want an emblem for TLUMC for the future, let it be the shepherd staff. Let it be the staff. That's sort of the guideline for each of us, that we're called to be shepherds in this world, to feed the hungry, to heal those who are suffering in pain, to provide shelter for the homeless, to reach beyond ourselves. The future of this church cannot be in another building drawing. It has to be in a shepherd's staff. It's what we're called to be. It's what we're called to do, is to be shepherds in a suffering world. We're called to be shepherds of the flock. Remember, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus knew a lot about bread. He ate with everybody. And look at the gospel stories and see time and time again as he fed the crowds. And the need for bread continues today. Dr. David Beckman, who works for the bread of life, the bread of the world, that is, says this, and I'm quoting him, in the United States, 1 in 4 children lives in a home that sometimes runs out of food. You hear that? 25% of the children in this country live in a home that runs out of food, not just because the teenagers are hungry. Around the world, 1 billion people are hungry all the time. Nearly the same number of people have inadequate access to water, and 2.6 billion people in our world lack basic sanitation. 2.6 billion people. I've been in the countries. I know where they are. I've been on the buses where they stop on the road and say men on one side and women on the other. 2.6 billion people. And according to UNICEF, 24,000 children die every day due to poverty. Beckham writes these words. He says that we're making progress, but the need still exists. The poignant statement he makes in this message is this: through Jesus Christ, God forgives our sins and fills our life with purpose. The experience of God's grace in Jesus Christ then moves us out to reach others and share bread with them. You are the shepherds called to touch the world in the name of Christ. That's your job. That's your focus. The gospel has changed your life. Let the gospel and your good deeds change the lives of others. Our new identity, a shepherd's staff, the example of what service will be like in the future of TLUMC. Well, that's all I have to say today. It's probably enough. Carolyn and I love you more than you will ever know, and we will miss you with every fiber of our being. But you're in good hands for the road ahead. You have a great pastor coming your way. You have great leadership in the church. They only ask you just to do one favor. It's one simple thing. If you take a look at the vision of the church, you'll see the last statement is very, very important. Keep on dreaming. God's. God's dream for your future. If you do it, it won't go wrong. Amen.